The Coin Week podcast is brought to you by PCGS. Check out the PCGS Set Registry mobile app to organize, analyze, and complete your collection. We tried it out ourselves, and we loved it. Before I get into this week's Coin Week podcast, I'd like to thank Gainesville Coins for their sponsorship of the Coin Week Silver Coin Giveaway last week, where we gave away 2 1-ounce silver bullion coins of their Guardian Angel coin series. If you need a Guardian Angel in your life, or know somebody that does, Gainesville has these bullion coins for just a few dollars over melt. And speaking of Guardian Angels, check out our YouTube video about the making of the Austrian Mint's Guardian Angel coin for 2017. Available in 3 finishes, 1, a colorized silver coin, absolutely beautiful. You can see this video on our YouTube channel or coinweek.com. I certainly had an angel looking out for me recently, and it appears that all it took was for some patience to get out of my collecting rut. I'll tell you all about it next in the Coin Week podcast. You know, folks, it was a couple months ago that I recorded an episode of the Coin Week podcast where I said that I was in a collecting rut. I hadn't found or purchased anything from my collection in such a long time that I almost forgot that I was actually actively collecting anything at all. If you're like me, you've probably found yourself in a similar position from time to time. I'm sure a lot of us have. It's probably why when this happens, we go from one collecting interest to another. The collecting bug, I don't think, is limited to one type of object. You're either a born collector or you're not. And it's strange. I look around my home and I see the things that I've collected over the years, and I recognize that the collecting bug for me extends well beyond numismatic items to things that I didn't even know I collected. Take, for instance, I have on my wall a Nelson clock from the 1950s. I like retro modern design, and I've known about this clock for many years, but I never thought it prudent or necessary to ever buy one. But then, when one came available at next to no material cost to me, I picked it up. I could have picked up any clock over the years, but I never did. I picked up that one. I collected it. On my wall, by my desk, is another collection. A collection of NLG awards. Some I earned myself. Others I earned as part of a collaborative team that brings you Coin Week. I, like many people in my area of the industry, look forward to the annual NLG bash at the ANA World's Fair of Money because it's an opportunity to add to my collection, if you will. Although I'm sure that nobody will ever catch up to the likes of Q. David Bowers. His collection of NLG plaques is huge, and deservedly so. I have other collections, either put together on purpose or collected by chance. Coin Week's webmaster Scott Purvis sent me a box a couple months ago of American stamps dating back to the 1860s. He collected them by chance as well, part of some deal he had put together a few years ago. And since he had to part ways with it during a move, he sent it to me. All because I told him that I liked stamps and I remember collecting them as a kid. I never had stamps like these as a kid, though. On my bookshelf are row after row of numismatic books. When I moved into my house about 2 years ago, the books were all neatly organized and well-aligned. Now they're stacked and cluttered and mismatched. The cause? I've collected more books than I have space for, including a complete set of the D. Brent Pogue leather catalogs that were sent to me by my friends at Stacks Bowers. I'm sorry, but my Teletrade price guides from the 90s are going to have to find a new home. I have no more room. So even when I thought I was in a collecting rut, the fact of the matter is I was still actively collecting. And when it comes to my main area of interest, the FAO series of coins and metals, my rut came to a dramatic and shocking end. No sooner did I realize that I was in a rut that the floodgates began to open. I have been building a big database of all the known FAO metals in the different sizes and compositions. I don't know if I have half of them at this point, but I do have a substantial number of them. And I never expected that I would really dabble all that much in the gold versions. being the editor of a coin publication is perhaps not as lucrative a career as, say, being a day trader on Wall Street. I had one or two examples in gold, some late-date issues that were reportedly rare due to the fact that they didn't sell well, and most of them were melted down. I had one or two examples in gold, some later-date issues that were reportedly rare due to the fact that these designs didn't sell well at all, and most of the issue was melted down. A lucky acquisition that I got straight from the source, the former head of the FAO program. But then, out of the blue, on eBay, a 60-piece set made up of two examples of 30 different medallions, one of each in aluminum and 22-karat gold, appeared. The seller made no mention of the metal content of the pieces, but I assumed others would recognize what this was and bid accordingly. I cleared things with my wife, and I placed a nuclear bid of a few thousand dollars on it. Actually, I wasn't expecting to win. Even at a few thousand dollars, my bid was under melt. Days went by. My starting bid of 99 cents became $3, and then $5, then $8. With a day to go, it got up to about $33. With 8 different bidders logged into the auction, I figured that it would be go time in the last hour or the last minutes of the last day of the sale. On the evening that the auction was coming to a close, I went out to dinner with my family. I was kind of excited, but I also anticipated that I wouldn't win. Earlier, I had saved screenshots of the sale for my own research purposes because I figured I probably might not see this kind of set again, or at least not for some time. After I put my kids to bed, I logged into my account and saw that I had won the auction. My final bid was $230. Seriously. So now I'm thinking, well, maybe these are fake. Maybe the seller knew the gold medallions were plated or dubious in some way and didn't bring it up. I asked myself, would you pay a couple $100 for a fake set? I'd never seen a fake medallion set. But you know, in this hobby, anything's possible. I steeled myself against the possibility that I had scored myself 30 pieces of fool's gold. So I waited, and about a week later, the set arrived, carefully and professionally packaged. The boards, the medallions, everything looked 100% real to me. I had examples of a number of the pieces already, even a few of the gold pieces. The finish, the strike, the weight. It was all identical to the pieces I had, save for the fact that this set had examples that just felt fresher, unhandled, original. And just like that, I had scored the deal of my collecting life. 80 grams of gold and who knows what in numismatic value for a couple $100. And like that, a paradigm shift in my collection had taken place. I never expected to seek out the gold medallions. To this point, the silver, the bronze, and the aluminum ones had sufficed. Now, I had made a serious dent in that part of the series. My collecting goals advanced, along with the scope of my collection. My rut is over. But in actuality, I wonder if there was ever a rut to begin with. Or was I just biding time? Collecting as collectors do. Things of interest. Waiting in the wings to seize an opportunity. An opportunity that made itself apparent. With just a little bit of help from above, and a deep reservoir of numismatic knowledge. So how's your collecting gone in the past few months? Pick up anything really cool? Let me know in the comments. Till next time, I'm Coin Week editor Charles Morgan. Happy collecting. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. And remember, you can download every episode of the Coin Week podcast for free from the iTunes store or stream it online at coinweek.com.